Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
One of the things that we are trying to figure out is what is going on with regard to Iran. Donald Trump says that it's almost over, that Iran has roughly a week to reach the agreement. The big question is, will this actually happen? Joining us now is Yigal Marcus, Director of Republican Overseas, to help unpack whether Iran is likely to delay, to negotiate, or maybe strike back, and what is Trump's strategy. Actually, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Trump says there's a limited time. Is this a real deadline or a negotiating tactic, do you think?
Well, I think he's right about limited time, but the time's on our side, not the side of Iran. Iran is beginning, the reports coming out that they're beginning to slow and eventually stop pumping oil from many of its oil refineries and or oil reserves, pumps, I should say, I'm sorry. And that unto itself is dangerous to Iran, because stopping a pump is not like flipping a switch. Mm. You stop the pump, restarting it takes a lot of time and is extraordinarily expensive. And so because Iran has basically no more room for its oil, they're going to start stopping pumps, and that's going to incur long-term economic damage on them. So the time is actually on our side, mm. not their side. And so Trump's giving him as much time as possible, but the more time he gives them, the closer it becomes to that moment where they really have to do mass shutting down of their oil pumps, and that would be a disastrous economic move for them. So he's using pressure, and it's working, or at least, you know, the more time it takes for Iran to, you know, to concede, the better it is, the more negotiating leverage the U.S. has.
Why would he give them any? I mean, why would he not simply just keep going until the pressure becomes too much for Iran and they have no choice but to try and negotiate?
Going in terms of a kinetic war, or in terms of...
Well, no, in terms of the fact that if what you're saying is what is the fact that Iran is under enormous pressure financially, the oil production, it's going to each day put even more pressure on Iran, then why give them any time? Why not say, you know, we're ready, you come back to us when you want to talk, knowing that every single day is making Iran weaker?
So I think there's a couple of things at play here. The first and foremost is the upcoming U.S. elections. Mm, mm. Now, despite what some on the left-wing media are reporting, the American people remain supportive. The majority remain supportive of this war and this effort to really change the regime and change the reality in the Middle East. But Trump has to be seen as somebody who is very strategic. He is very strategic. He's obviously a brilliant negotiator. And so doing nothing, you know, uncertainty is something that markets hate. And uncertainty is what drives oil prices up. It drives stock markets down. It plays with the currency market. It's very, very, you know, very dangerous and adds a lot of volatility. So what does he do? He continues to get out there and send the message that he's doing right now, which is, you know, we're going to wait, but, you know, it's a fair deal, and they want to do a deal, and we won the war, the epic fury war. And to look at, you know, the oil markets yesterday, at one point they were trading at $122 a barrel, and mm-hmm. that dropped to like $95 a barrel when, you know, as this news comes out. And that ultimately will reduce the pressure on American consumers if that eventually drives to lower gas you know, prices. So I think what he's doing is trying to, on one hand, manage this process so that it doesn't affect him, or, you know, maybe even he can turn into a positive
right
for the upcoming midterm election. And the other side of it is that he really wants to, you know, the longer it takes for Iran to answer, the more damage is going to occur to them, the more pressure is going to be on them. And that means you can concede, you can get and extract from them a better deal. So the way that he's managing it is actually quite smart. It's just taking longer than I think anybody really wants. You know, if you speak, you know, here in Israel, if you ask people about this, you know, and I've asked a lot of people about it, the consensus, I don't have a single person saying, you know, stop the war. Everybody here wants to finish the job, and that wants Israel and the U.S. to finish the job. But on the other side of it, you know, Trump has certain limitations, congressional limitations, and he's trying to manage through all of that. And it's complex and hard, but I think he's doing a very good job.
What do we understand about the regime itself and the strength of the regime?
Well, that's a great question. So let's define the word regime. The regime is, you know, you have the political leaders and you have the IRGC. And what has delayed everything until now is the fact that, you know, President Trump has been talking to the political leaders, you know, the president, yes, prime minister, head of the speaker of their parliament. But those folks don't carry any power anymore. It used to be that they would answer to the mullahs and to Khamenei. But when everyone started dying during the beginning of the war, they basically assumed power. So basically, the people of power are the IRGC, and they are as radical and as dangerous as any terrorist organization you've ever seen. So, you know, the current leaders are still in power, but if this deal falls apart, I don't think they'll be alive very much longer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really just fascinating to watch. Is Israel and the U.S. still very closely aligned on the Iranian strategy?
Absolutely, no question about it. This is a, you know, to use the words of President of General Kane, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as well as Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War. This is an alliance that is just extraordinarily strong. Obviously, the interests are a little bit different, but the biggest interest, which focuses on the nuclear issue, is absolutely fully aligned, and they work hand in hand. Bibi speaks to President Trump almost every day, so there's no
disconnect
between them. Disconnect, and anything that's happening will be something that both parties are comfortable with.
Okay, final question. If as we sit here a week from now, what is more likely, a signed framework agreement or another escalation?
My vote would be on another escalation, because I don't think the IRGC can, you know, if they concede to this nuclear deal, which requires them to give up all the nuclear dust, all the uranium, and have it shipped to America, I don't think they're going to concede to that. I think their pride is more important than anything else, and it could be, and hopefully will be, perceived as weakness on their part if they do concede and give that to the Americans and strip them of this power. So my gut says their hubris, like this has happened, you know, many, many times in world history when it comes to the Jewish people, the hubris of our enemies tend to get in the way. I think it's probably going to happen again, but I could be wrong. But my gut says they never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity, and it's going to happen again.
Yigal Marcus, thank you as always, director at Republican Overseas, talking to us about this negotiation.